myself, our other older members. I mean, I can tell you, I've got to points where I said, I want to leave here. I don't want to come here no more. And what good does that do if I share it, though, in an open meeting? Except dissension. That belongs with my sponsor. Not using open Narcotics Anonymous meetings as open forums, but talking to my sponsor about them personal feelings in that area instead. Not making regular meetings battlegrounds, but making them recovery meetings. Talking about other issues like this here in forums like this, where they're meant to be. Talking about issues in group conscience, where they're meant to be. And making that there attractive for a newcomer to walk through the door instead. And make service attractive. To do service, don't do it with a sad sack on your face. Don't do it like you're doing time. We're not in prison. Learn about the steps first. There was some talk about where we changed the 12th step. Now understand that. From those to these, I understand it real well. I didn't understand it when it happened. Because I thought words too, so I got a dictionary. Those is past and these is present. Those are the previous 11 and a half steps. These are the 12 traditions that bind us, that hold us together. I didn't understand that. Because I'm a person that had to get a dictionary. Because I'm a person that didn't understand the English language. And I had to admit to that. That was a character defect of mine that didn't want to admit that I didn't have knowledge. See, if I didn't have knowledge, I thought I was stupid. So I had to do an inventory and realize I'm not stupid, I need knowledge, and I got a dictionary, and I start studying the English language. So what's the solution? If there's a problem, I'm part of the problem. And if there's a solution, I need to be part of the solution. What do I emphasize on? Am I going to make it look like doomsday? We all can panic and go out and hang ourselves up or what? Or can I say, yes, this exists over here, just like we do an inventory. And that's what we do, an inventory of groups. We didn't learn how to do inventories of groups yet, that I know of. We're just starting to write an inventory up in our area. We had no real inventory. I mean, we had some pieces of tradition inventory that we should be passed around. I think you remember that, Bo. And whatever, how many questions on the steps and how many questions on the traditions. You know, but it was a basic form of an inventory that we utilized. But an actual form of what do we do? How do we take an inventory of a group? We got an inventory guide how to take one for ourselves. But what about a group? That's where it starts. Inventory is going to be taken at of a group level. How do we intermix together? That's where it starts. Am I willing to do the writing? If I want it? Am I willing to do the participation? Am I willing to do what it takes? See, there's two different types of service. One is a participant service. I have to cut my tongue out. Okay, you heard the word. Huh? Okay, you heard the word. One is getting involved. Okay? Or one is, let those do it for you. And bitch. I mean, that's the choice we got to make. I mean, go to the home group, and if they want you, if that's what they want, if you're sent here to get information, there's some information to take back. I can tell you I had a conversation with Stu Tordeman, our board of director chair, and he said it's all right for our home group to print literature in our group. As long as we're not going in competition with WSO and corporate. And I just had that conversation. And he said, it's all right. As long as you're not going to go out and go get it printed up for a cent and go sell it for for 3 cents when we're selling it for 13 to undercut us. He said, if you're doing it for your home group, you have that right, autonomously as a home group. We don't have all that information. You got to make decisions sometimes, like you're being shown that this book. You need all that information if you're going to make that decision. I won't tell somebody to make that decision in a home group till they collect all that information, and they can make that decision within here first. I'm in a home group that made that decision. But it made that decision on collective information. And it was a unanimous vote. And I will back the home group in whatever we do, as long as we are collecting information and following and seeking information. I mean, that's what I do. That's what I've been taught. If you don't want skeletons in the closet, don't put them there. Be above board and open. You know, the major problem it seems we have in our past history, in our literature, is we have skeletons all over the place. And nobody wants to get them out. So what are we to do to get them skeletons out? One thing is try to get changes in that we don't have a structure that has service, that has service where people are stuck there for 10, 15 years. Get a revolving door. Get and work towards a service center, not a service office, but a service center. Service center implies something totally different than office. We don't realize that. The tradition talks about a service center, a place to provide service from, for us. Stuff that we can't do alone, but we can combine to do together. It's what a service center is. And that's what we need, is a service center for that purpose. Do we need, and I'm looking at it real questionable, do we need a bunch of warehouses? Or do we need somebody negotiating with printing companies for us and getting us the price and letting the regions or areas purchase directly from them printing companies that are listed for that price instead? That sure would cut down on having to have 5-6 buildings in Van Nuys or having to look to go purchase property. We could decentralize and bring it back down to as close to the groups as the treaty was wrote for. Bring it back to the groups as close as possible. So that's what I was brought into. That's a solution to seek them goals. That's stuff you can carry back. Ideals and concepts. I can tell you that the concepts or principles, whatever they're calling it, is what helped bring about this little book right now. The concept of, if you don't like what we're doing, stop the money. Well, I'm sorry, the only way you can stop the money is not by literature. And if you don't buy literature, you don't have literature. So what are you going to do? You have to print. You can stop all the money from going to fund flow. The conference is already telling you they're complaining about not getting enough money through that. But the major money of your basket money is not going through the fund flow system, but it's going directly from the group to the World Service Office in money for literature. I mean, look at your budgets. My home group just purchased $108 worth of literature, gave the area $108 this month. Another group, though, bought $100 and some worth of literature and gave the area $5-something. If you looked at our budget for our area this past month, you would see that we bought 60% literature and 40% of our money went into the service structure to provide our services here. That tells me we've got a problem. The problem is that, and I'm going to talk personally about another fellowship, because Alcoholics Anonymous sells a big book to OA, or OA buys it for $350. What's the difference? Why do we have to pay $8 for a book? Then there are questions that need to be asked. I'm tired of them things like that. I think a lower cost book will put more money into the fund flow, and I believe it would bring our service center in line, because then they would have, we would reverse the money going directly through literature to the World Service Office, that profit wise, the money would flow through the service structure, where then the service structure would have to be, the service center would have to become dependent upon the conference to have to subsidize it instead. Then we would reverse that there process. It's called reverse the process. But we need to seek a lower cost piece of literature. We need to seek getting the World Fellowship, where they have different languages, to take them and tell them, take this literature and put it into your language. You know best. English is basically a well-known language throughout the world. A lot of your countries have to learn English. So there's some people in their country that can speak their own language plus English, that can sit down and translate that book without having to pay the big cost. And I'm not worried about dialect. We have dialect in English. I mean, I can't understand people sometimes from Mississippi. I can't understand some people from England or Ireland. And I listen to them, and they can't understand me sometimes. So the dialect, I don't feel, is that much of a problem. Let them put it in their language. And let them get them good feelings. That's a solution to me. Let them get them feelings of involvement instead. Not seeking for the Grand Goomba to say, hey, we'll take care of you. Do what we want. Just gangster style. You just behave, buddy. You know what I mean? I bust your kneecaps. I mean, let's get for real. Reverse our decision-making process of our conventions. Our conventions are the profiteering of Narcotics Anonymous. How much are your conventions making in your regions that some of you have come from? I mean, I look at it. We'll stamp any on anything. I mean, the most disgusting thing I saw one time was coming out of a city with any nuts and bolts on girls' underwears. You know, little skimpy ones. Stamping NA on them. Profiteering. We spend how much energy into making money in them other ways? How much money is being siphoned off in them ways? I mean, you hear the rumors. You know the facts. I can tell you the 7th East Coast, I know there was $10,000 walked off with, was never accounted for. I can tell you last year's East Coast walked off with somewhere around $25,000. I can tell you right now, the East Coast this year has not paid some of their bills. I know one person they owe $14,000 to and didn't pay them. And that people are just walking around lobbying their heads, acting like they don't know what's going on. Money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. What's our primary purpose? That's a grassroots effort we need to carry back. Grassroots. That's our history. What's built us to the point? Was grassroots efforts, primary purpose, carrying the message, doing service, not because I want to be somebody, but because I wanted the next person who didn't have it to have what I was given freely. Because I got them, when I walked to the 2nd East Coast Convention, or Narcotics Anonymous, strapped down, still in leather, with hair down to my waist, by then I was 129 pounds, at a year and a half clean. I've gained about 10 pounds. But what happened there was a miracle. I was introduced to what I call Narcotics Anonymous. That's when the man gave me the gray book and the four-step inventory guide. And that's when he gave me a spiritual connection, a communication network. And remember the things I'm missing today. That's the NA I know, and that's the NA I want. That's the NA you hear being talked in history. That's the NA you hear about Jimmy Kennan's phone ringing off the hook. That's the NA history you hear, as Bo shared, when he ran around the country from literature conference to literature conference, when he talks about the history of the basic text, of going to the World Convention wanting to know. That's the NA enthusiasm that took them people from Georgia, which were barefoot and everything, to World Service Conference to make a difference. There are solutions. There are solutions to setting up. You can create, dissolve, and recreate. And number of things we got to look at. What's going to work best for us? If it's setting up a service structure that's going to work for us, we need to start doing it. I have suggestions, and I think going back to the NA tree and looking at what worked there and start working from there, not this guide to service. I mean, I just like don't want to go through it. But the something that was simple was the NA tree. And start looking at what did work and look at what needed to be expanded for a worldwide fellowship today from that. And keep it simple. And that's stuff we can start working on. We can take it to our home groups and we can start getting copies of the old tree somewhere. If anybody got it, get it from them, copy it, give it to them. And start looking it over, inventorying it, and getting a communication network, finding groups that are willing to go through it together. And supporting each other as a network. If your friend calls you up and says, and why we had anonymi at one time, a worldwide home group for those that were isolated because of their service. I carry the card today yet. I feel that way at times. Because you have a belief, follow the belief. Don't stop before the miracle happens, but follow it. That's a solution. Find the people. I don't believe in the old saying that if someone tells you you're a horse, or you don't have to think about it and go to the second person and say you're a horse, well, you better start thinking. And the third person says you're a horse, I don't believe in it. I can find three stupid fools to tell me I'm a horse. I can tell you I can find enough negative people to tell me it don't work this way. We went through that too many years. What was Narcotics Anonymous founded on? It was founded and went against the grain and was told that it wouldn't work. And I can tell you, 11 years ago when we formed here and left Alcoholics Anonymous, where I came from, they said it wouldn't work this way either. I was told the same thing that they were told in 1953 or any other time they started anywhere else. And I was told, make a commitment. And I found them people who became my network, people like Bo, people like Greg, people like Jimmy, became my network, Joe Proctor from Tennessee. They became my network of people to call on a regular basis and get support from, to know that NA worked. And they're the people who told me they can write. Joe told me so many times, he said, you can write, Bill, you can write. And I used to look at him and say, you're nuts. You're crazy. I never got through the ninth grade. I failed spelling. I got straight E's from English from kindergarten on. They just pushed me through. I got a B-plus in college English today. I went from ninth grade dropout to freshman in college in the last year. Only because you told me it would work. And you got me to believe in myself. And that's what we need to do, is help each other believe in ourselves. And when someone's beating on one of our brothers and telling them it doesn't work, we need to support that brother or sister and help carry that message to them. And that has to happen in a worldwide network. You can find too many people that are going to tell us that we can't write literature no more. They're going to tell us it's going to work best in a service center or an office or whatever. The fewer it works. I can tell you I went onto the World PI Committee when it was open, and I can tell you the World PI Committee produces nothing today. It's in the service office. World PI does nothing itself. I can tell you, I wrote the guidelines for World PI. The inter-guidelines. I wrote them, the PI committee accepted them, and then the chairperson turned around and made them, and had to, someone make a motion not to send them to the fellowship. And the committee then voted not to send them out. And why? Because they could amend them as they went along. And they took real strict guidelines and made them into real lax guidelines to do whatever they want, when they want. And they'll tell you that, just let me do what I know how to do best. I'm a PI man. You don't know what it does takes to do PI. But I do. I'm a specialist. So just let me go. But didn't you teach me not to listen to my own mind? Didn't you teach me to call up my sponsor before I think? Before I get caught up in my own thoughts? I mean, because my thoughts brought me here. Didn't you teach me to protect myself from myself and not to allow my ego to get out of line? It's not about not trusting me. It's about not trusting my disease and putting some blockades up for my disease so my disease doesn't take off where I can't see where the shutters are up. That's what it's about. And that's why I need protection from myself. The greatest thing the Mid-Atlantic region did for me was not allow me to have a vote of confidence on the World Service Conference floor. The greatest thing that we can do is say, hey, we don't want anything amended. Where are we going? Are we trying to get something done in our lifetime? Is anything going to come up that drastic? Really? Or is it that I need my name attached to it? Do I need to boost my name? Do I need to be some honcho? Take the road, put the roadblocks up so my disease does not destroy me. And that's something you can take back to the group. Put the roadblocks up so the disease does not destroy our trusted servants. You vote in the GSR? Make sure it's the GSR for the job. Make sure it's the person that can do the job for you instead. Not because it's your friend. Not because they look good or I want to go to bed with her. I mean, I saw plenty of trusted servants come on the World PI through someone wanting to go to bed with them. Pretty girls. That's how we need to learn to treat each other with respect, dignity, compassion. Karina, what it meant, care. We need to learn to do that. And how we do that is by living principles. How we do that is to take the message back and ask your groups to do these type of workshops and invite the people in to bring the information in and start writing, communicating. And working. And if it's not working in the service structure we create it, and we cannot change the arena, dissolve it and recreate. That's the message that I have. It's the only message that I have today. I'm not going back to World Service Conference. People didn't understand that when I said when the fellowship doesn't want me is when they'll send me home. And I go home to the home group where I belong. I have a home group. It's not about being a world trusted servant. It's about being a member. It's about participating, carrying the message. sponsoring people. You can't take the home group from me. But we can do a lot from there. That's the foundation of everything. That's a solution for me. And I'm willing to help and set up networks. I know Bo knows how to do it. And it's time we start talking, getting addresses, phone numbers, and communicating, and finding out what each other's doing. I don't know if we've gone that far where it's more important to go out to a dance or it's more important to hang out in discos or in the pool hall, or if you had that spiritual awakening where you understand what we're here for. And that's to be the living spirit. That's to become the spirit of NA. And that's the solution. Be that living spirit. Do not falter because someone offers you something. If the gut's telling you it's wrong, follow the gut. I don't care how many people are patting you down the back. Follow the stomach because that's what's usually our best barometer. I know it's mine. I know when I made a bad decision. And I can't look myself in the mirror in the stomach. I get this acid buildup in my stomach. I'm like, I mean, I almost devoured my stomach at 2 years clean. You know, but it happens when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That's what I have. That's the solutions for me. So thank you for allowing me to come up and share.
I'm an addict. My name is Robin. I don't know. The only thing that I keep thinking of that just keeps coming to mind, and Billy said it, was money, property, and prestige. You know, when I got involved in World Service, I can remember getting a postcard from somebody that said, I tried to call you. Line was temporarily disconnected. Welcome to World Services. And that's really what it was about. You know, World Service, when I got involved, was hard work and was a lot of money out of pocket, but the rewards were great. And today it's almost like join World Services, see the world. I really have a problem with that when we take a good hard look at what we're doing. I can remember when I got involved, it was with the NA Way, you know, and a lot of people were jumping out and saying, you know, talk about the history of the Way. And, you know, what we were doing, what we were about at that time was providing some more stuff to read, was taking input from the fellowship, and letting addicts read what recovery was about in other addicts' lives. And that's what the magazine, that's what the purpose of the magazine was. And I got involved with it in the first year of its run. And I became chair of it in the second year of its run. Well, I became co-chair. But, I mean, all that bullshit was so much bullshit. And was so tiring, but anyway, it was a lot of work, and it was a fellowship, voluntary production. And I remember going to the conference that year after it was all over, after the year that I served was over, and being accused of wrongly spending money. I mean, it was bizarre, and I don't remember how much over budget. I think there was like $1,035 that we spent of the fellowship's money. And I was accused. I felt like I was being attacked verbally. And we got we got 12 issues of the magazine out, and it was out, you know, within a reasonable amount of time. And that year at the conference, the magazine was taken out of fellowship hands and put into the World Service Office hands. And an editor was hired for about $28,000. And I couldn't see the logic in that. And I still fail to see the logic in that, process. And that's why money, property, and prestige, that's why I say that appears to be our root. That appears to be where we seem to falter. Going back to, when Billy was talking about reverse the process, let the World Service Office be dependent on the fellowship for its survival, instead of the opposite way around. The World Service Office was not meant to be, and I don't believe that it was ever meant to be, the governing, quote, arm of the fellowship. I don't believe that that was its purpose. And I took myself out of World Services, and I went back to the level that wouldn't give me stress and wouldn't give me that type of pain, I guess. And I started to get re-involved in my home group and re-involved in staying clean in the attics who still suffer. Because, like a few other people that had said, I think that when money, property, and prestige blinds us, we forget about our primary purpose. And, I was sitting there and I asked Bo how much money was spent on the writing of the basic text. And, he said somewhere around 50,000, he thinks. And it took a process of, about 5 years to write it? Okay, so for 3 years it took a grand total of about 50,000, close to it. And we had something in hand. And I've been watching the service structure for the last 7 years, spending millions of dollars with nothing in hand. And I wonder where we're going. I wonder what we've come to. And like everybody else, I believe that we need to go back to a grassroots type of thing. When I took a position on a world level and with a lot of other people in this room, the position was not one of glorification. I mean, I, like most people, spent hours and hours and hours alone working. My free time was not free time. My free time was given to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And today I don't believe that taking a WSC or any other world-level position is that type of a position. I think mostly it's a glorification and very little other. And it's hard, it's sad. I watch it and I don't know. I guess I backed out because I didn't know what to do. And I felt that there was nothing more I could do. I don't believe in the process as it stands today. And I haven't believed in it since I've seen it going in this direction for the last 6 years. When I got out. And we just, that's all I have.
Thank you.
I'm an addict, and I'm Bill. First of all, I need to make amends to you all and Dave, because I shouted out something from the floor when he had it and standing up here, and for me that's like inappropriate. And so what I've heard tonight isn't anything too different than what I've heard before and have seen for the amount of time that I've been around here, and that's not really long. I've learned a lot through last night and today. Some additional information that gives me some tools that help me see things a little clearer. You know, and I've thought about this problem and thought about this, and, you know, I saw it happening even with the three conference agenda reports back. I saw this, what was happening to the fellowship through the service structure. And because I'm one of those people that believes that the nature of the message or type of message in the room is reflected from the kind of service structure that we have. And so, because, like, you know, accountability is worthless without, responsibility is worthless without accountability to us, fellowship. And so, you know, I've seen this and I wondered, like, are we a dying breed? Are we freaks, you know? I know everybody that's here understands that you have to be in recovery and you have to work the steps and live the principles. And we also understand that there are spiritual rewards in self-sacrifice, and that's part of what service is about for me. And so, like, what are we going to do? You know, and I see a lot of people with time that have, you know, put some effort forth, and like, maybe they've been, had some kind of position in their group or at an area level or something, and they have, like, 4 years or 8 years or something, and, you know, they go off and they're living this life, and they've got all the things in life that are available to us when we do the next right thing. And it doesn't matter what happens in the service structure. It just doesn't matter. Because, you know, part of recovery is that it gives us the ability to participate in life and have and do these things. So what's right? Where is the balance? And I believe that we do have to stand for something or we'll fall for anything. You know, I find myself having been a liberal while I was out there with my disease. And it's sort of ironic now I find myself a conservative in the little interpretation of our traditions. That's not necessarily today a very popular view, you know, and I see it in the rooms where people just come to get what they can get and they go out and do what they can in life with what they can take from the rooms, and they're not too interested in giving. So what is the answer? What is the answer for us? What are we supposed to do? Well, you know, I can continue to beat my head against the wall, and I can continue to battle that, you know. And I don't really want to live that way. Or I could just, like, surrender. One way of surrender would just be like, give up, and okay, I'm beat, and we might be right, but we can't do a damn thing about it. You know, and that's not what I am made of. I do not like that feeling inside of me when I'm in confrontation of those that I care about and are supposed to care about me. But what I have come to believe is that you know, what we believe and what we all here have in common besides addiction, I believe, is the spiritual principles that have been given to us. And through some effort, and what's happening in my region at home is that there's a motion going back to groups to start to form an ad hoc committee to investigate starting a separate service conference. And that's something. See, everything, I believe that all this that exists in NA wouldn't, in our service structure, rather, can't get them mixed up. A lot of people think that service is Narcotics Anonymous, and it's not. The only thing that's NA for me is a meeting, okay, and service structure is an outside issue. But a lot of people, and I'd lost track. I believe that I need to be true to my beliefs. And so that doesn't mean giving up so damn easy, you know. And it will always have to do with education, because just as I carry what I was given, what we give will be carried. So like that's real important to perpetuate that kind of education and that type of morality and values that come from practicing principles in our affairs. But that alone won't do it, because we're in the minority. So what are we going to do? You know, we can't blow these people away. Did God mean for there to be a place for people that can't let go of the disease in the service structure? I don't have that kind of answer, but I do believe that that there's a place for us. And before I give up, you know, before I let go and be one of those old farts in an AA meeting, sitting in the back with a group of old fogies making cracks about somebody that uses some kind of new language, I'm gonna put my efforts in trying to educate those that will listen about what is supposed to be and what can be, and talk about the motion that's going back to my groups, our groups in our region. Nothing's impossible. If it is meant to be, then y'all go back to your groups and make some kind of motion that pertains to a separate service conference or something that will allow us to have a service structure as we believe it should be, and it is meant to be, it'll happen. But if it's meant to be and we don't put forth that effort out of fear of not being popular, it'll never come to be. Not everything for me in life that happens or exists is God's will. The truth does stand on its own for those that choose to recognize it. So I'm tired, so I'm going to stop talking. Keep coming back.
My name's Bo, and I'm Natick.
Hi, Bo.
And, you know, the workshop today has stirred, like, some ideas and stuff. There are a couple of sort of obvious choices. Like, one thing, Grateful cited me on the letters that I read. The thing that stood out on my first brief glance was that, like, one of them says, we're the office and we hold Dr. Rice in trust. And then the letter from the lawyers says, stop doing this shit right now or we'll blow you away. And I really think that's sad, you know, for World Services to take two positions on the same issue in the same time frame, first of all, because it makes them look ridiculous, and then to offer offense to the most wonderful thing that we have to offer, which is active involved members through those letters. And it just, I guess it's more than anything a measure of just how insane it's gotten in the world today to even pull something like that and not see how stupid it is and embarrassing. Because, I mean, that is, neither letter reflects any spiritual sincerity and like the attitude of a servant. You know, the way, like if you were some kind of flagrantly rich individual, and he had one of those gentle, loving English butlers who says, but sir, if I carry out your orders, you know, that bomb really will go off and we'll both be dead. I mean, there's just not any sir in there. There's not any service in there. And, you know, with our people, like we're like gypsies. I always figured if you just yell at us and treat us like fools and idiots and rabble, then unfortunately we're used to handling that kind of crap. If you treat us real nice with dignity and love and respect, hell, you guys buy our damn heartstrings, you know, we'll follow you in. The thought, and I'm not going to try to promote them and like read each one and then, you know, like oratize on each one, but I'll just try to read them sort of quickly. But I have, you know, take his tongue in cheek, but I call it the path of personal responsibility. One is we can create a new resource for Narcotics Anonymous just by changing our minds. One of the tricks Joseph and I made up, because we were really world-level servants, and we really did get a lot of opportunities to serve, and often during those years, 79, 80, 81, there would be potentially difficult problems just getting started, but we'd know about them. They'd be kind of isolated just in one area region. And, I mean, like our tactic was to include, not exclude, so we'd take radicals and absorb them instead of run them off. Of course, sometimes that worked to our embarrassment, but nevertheless, you know, we were loving and, you know, you just take the package deal, right? But we would come up with non-directive, self-replicating solutions to some of the problems that by definition on a single hearing, somebody would go like, aha, and then could repeat it endlessly forever. And it wasn't important where it came from. I mean, like, nobody knew we did it, right? And I guess the ones that didn't pan out just got repeated once or twice and died out. And then the good ones just sort of like went on, and we didn't have that class of problem in that time frame. So maybe this kind of stuff would be a little bit like that, like non-directive, self-replicating solutions for current problems. So we can create a new resource just by change your mind and change your life. We can create a whole bunch of esteemed old-timers because we have enough members with long clean time to where at the flip of a switch they can become esteemed old-timers and kind of act out that role. I had a guy, a sponsor, visit me the other week, and he was bitching, you know, about people putting him on a pedestal and this and that and expecting a lot out of him. And finally, I mean, he had brought it up like 15 times, so I could just sort of tell he was having trouble dealing with it. And I said, well, have you ever thought that they're asking you to do for them what was done for you? I mean, you're their old man. I know you think you're a kid, but you're not. And plus, you know, what you'd be doing thereby would be giving. Now, sure, you'd have to, like, show a little more dignity and restraint and, you know, like, clean up your act a little bit, but so what? You can afford it. I mean, you've had your kicks. And it's not like, you know, martyrdom or something. So at least had the impression that he'll at least think about it. He definitely did not say no. That's a good sign. And I was smart enough to just say it and leave it, right? Move on to the next item. But you know, a lot of people you know, or you, can become an esteemed old-timer just by thinking, well, that might be curious. You could become an esteemed old-timer for even a couple of years and then go back to whatever without relapsing if you like. It's easy, and we do have a lot of people with the time now. Another thing, if you wanted to try that, or even if you did, is you could contact old-timers and express your gratitude. We've got a lot of really sad cases where people work their butts off, and they're stuck up in their job, their relationship, and da-da-da, and think they're alone. And they don't come to things like this anymore. And they're not shown appreciation. I wrote Chuck Skinner just a nice letter, you know, and didn't bring up any issues, and just told him I loved him, I was grateful, I respected him, how are you doing? Right after the health, you know, they're a little older. And he told me about their recent exploits and adventures. And at the end of the letter, he said, but you know, the spirit's just not as strong in me or something like that. And I felt like he was coming clean about something. So I'll probably write him again after a while. You know, I ain't going to damn heavy it up too much. But I really did, you know, he's helped a lot. And everybody can do that, because all of you have got your own little set of esteemed old-timers, right? Somewhere that helps you, that loved you, that took a little time with you. They're probably not perfect. You know, they might be a little, if they're still clean and feel a little isolated, you know, you might brighten their day or something. I mean, it's not exactly, they don't have to be senior citizens. I mean, under 50s count, too. Okay, another thing, and this is where, like, my path of personal responsibility gets a little heavy and political. Stay tuned in to consciousness. Just do that. Become esteemed old-timers. Show a little gratitude periodically to your old-timers, which in turn will help you accept gratitude from others being an old-timer. And then just, elect your position or no, just stay tuned into the consciousness of your home group at the group level, and write down what their feelings are, what their aspirations are, in other words, what they like to see. Not so much you, but them. And then, you know, instead of, like, if you're not holding an elected service position, not going to every region all the time, just go out of your way, find out who your current ASR or RSR is, and just call them and just go see them. You got every right to do that. And if you're staying in touch with your group's level and enough people do that, you're going to be factoring in a different sort of information than they might get, like just sort of flooding out of the world that's got the printing press right now. We used to have the printing press at the group level. Okay. While the world is entangled, which I mean that's one way of interpreting what we're all looking at right now. Let's just say it's sort of entangled, it's caught up in itself, it ain't functioning too well, a lot of problems and stuff. Hey, just formulate regional initiatives. Just get your region, get another region, you know, maybe two or three regions, work out something cool to work on, history work. Work on something for policy or for PI or whatever. It can be a real goal or almost a humorous goal, really, in the current time frame. And humorous might be fun. And submit it deadpan, you know. Our region worked very hard and came up with this. I mean, that would be, you know, an interesting repartee to some of these, like, malicious letters and stuff. And it wouldn't take long to work up, you know, like, you did what? You know, but just do it. And it also, it can, you know, like I said earlier, we've got a lot more capacity today, and you could bring together all the existing materials on PI and, like, examine basic questions. Like, I had Bill going into it at the World Convention in D.C. a few years ago. How many libraries are there in PA? How many of those libraries have NA basic text in them? You know, how could we get basic text in all of them? Or just whatever, you know. How many jails have got H&I meetings? How could we get more? Those are the real goals, I think. If we had goals like that in World Services, we wouldn't have no time for these bullshit problems. And, but anyway, you can't, while the world's entangled, just opt for regional initiatives. If world settles down, go back to world and keep a few regional initiatives. Some people say that's structurally illegal, but that ain't so. Invite those who have positive experience in service, like every area in the fellowship has got people that are not commonly known who worked very hard on the basic text or may have their story in the book, or they may have done some other good work. sometime, someplace. And they'd make excellent speakers. Right now, I guarantee you, who gets into the big convention speaking positions is it's a buddy system. And they ask for the tapes and all that, and then they put the buddies in. And they may even listen to tapes, but they still put the buddies in. You know, I think a lot of times that happens. I mean, I haven't heard any... And see, if I say I haven't heard any good speakers, that'd be judgmental. So instead I'll say I haven't shed a tear at a convention lately. And I can remember sharing a tear at every convention. I'd just be transfixed with something, like a new idea or whatever. Personally, just by your own self, pick out an objective that would help build NA and can make a commitment to it, as long as the fellowship says it wants it. You know, that way if the fellowship says, oh, we don't care about that no more, you can drop it, you ain't stuck. As long as you got some members, like group level, yeah, that would be nice, that would be neat. Just work on it. It could be something small. It doesn't have to be big. Small things, bunch of small things add up to big, good things. And it could be a private thing. I mean, it might even be anonymous. Nobody else may even know that you're working on it. How about that, the underground, you know, service and recovery? Personally, as an esteemed old-timer, you can help keep the NA promise of recovery alive. You know? And that way, as an esteemed old-timer, it'd no longer be your duty. I mean, we got the heavy radical section. I mean, you could be, like, on the sidelines, kind of helping them not completely come unglued, you know? Grateful will call me up sometimes, and I can tell the other end of the phone his head's turning like a helicopter, and I'm worried it's going to just spin right on off. And then we'll be talking, you know, we've known each other long enough, he's kind of like calms down, well this, well that. You know, which I still say Grateful's got a terrifically impressive track record of being right in advance. And I think, and I've thought this for some time, that the only cure in the ongoing sense, and a resource we did not have in 1965 or 75 or even 85, is to have an ongoing group of old-timers who are committed to Narcotics Anonymous, growth and continuous, who hold no elected position at any level, and have their own files and maintain and do their own studies. And keep track of who's being elected and what's happening. Are the people happy? If people ain't happy, hey, if you got any clean time and you're committed and showing up for stuff like this, it's on you. You know? You can either use the powers and gifts God's given you to work towards solution, or you can just stay on the sideline and say, well, ain't it sad about poor old N.A.? Oh, it was just so sad, it caved in. And, well, it ain't going to cave in, but if you want to be part of it, you know, just get you another way of thinking. Just slide into it like you slid into a new belief of God. You slid into surrender. You slid in to turn your life and your will over. Just, And another thing I've heard today, and this particularly concerns me, because I can remember in the old days, and I was spoiled, so I'm going to praise my original World Service experiences. I was loved. I was talked to with respect. I was given the truth, you know. And, I mean, I was testing. You know how we test. So, I mean, that, you know. It was remarkable. There was no dirty jokes in World Services. There was no ridicule of spiritual principles of spiritual people. Okay, I can remember two or three or four years ago at one conference that stood out in particular, like the nominees had to get up to the microphone and along with their clean time service experience, they started citing where they worked and how much money they made. And I know, you know, I've been coming out here 4 or 5 years. What is this shit? I mean, what's that for? And, you know, like everybody was like doing it one after another. I'm so-and-so. I've been clean so long. I'm serving this region that way. I make $32,000 a year. I mean, where did that come from? I also remember that every time, at some point during the week, the conference chair would authorize a negative sanction against a member of Narcotics Anonymous there in service. And a negative sanction is where a group moves to embarrass somebody or ridicule them or like call them on the carpet. And they never did that in the old days. Yeah, they did Dave 1 year, and then the next guy was that guy from Chesapeake Potomac because he was dumb and he had left the damn $5,000 check on his bureau and made it to the airport and didn't have time to go back, so he come in, went straight to the conference treasurer, says, "Hey, I'm dummy. I left the check back there, but I'll send it to you, and it's not been lost. And but you can count on $5,000 from CNP." Well, I mean, 4 days later, all that going to the conference chair and the treasurer and telling them what's going on and being assured, thank you for telling us, and it's okay. Oh, man, by Thursday or Friday, it was like, and like this girl quivering, the alternate, first time at WSC, and I was a trustee, and I hit that microphone like that, and I says, "What is this doing on the floor, Mr. Chair? You know we don't do stuff like out here." I was wrong. They went ahead and done it. Just persecuted the shit out of the guy. And hell, you thought he was a damn mugger, bank robber, killed children, raped fathers. I mean, and he made a mistake and copped to it straight up. And, anyway, me and a sponsor took him out and we ate ribs and laughed about it. And he said, in other words, the conference needed a scapegoat. And I said, well, I don't know if they needed a scapegoat, but they got one. And so we laughed. Yeah. But, I mean, you can't groom quality, loving volunteer service workers that way. And it was sort of like, that's just a shift, And who said it earlier? We created this stuff, we can uncreate it. Somehow we allowed it to happen. In the old days, we didn't have people long clean time, so we couldn't have a system of informed, involved, networked, esteemed old-timers. We can today. In the old days, we didn't have any money, property, or prestige, so we couldn't have them all concentrated in the office. If you're into structural service and want to work a jigsaw puzzle, figure out how to spread the money, property, and prestige around a little bit better, where it's less concentrated just in the office, and maybe that'll give some relief. But right now, it's concentrated, so everybody, a certain type of sick addict will suck up out there. And like Max said in the letter, he says, you said, Bo, that some people are like sort of being seduced by money and property and prestige. Really, they get on this short, tight skirt with a slit up the side before they leave L.A. I mean, they know where they're going. And we need to just, and that was the last thing, is just to, whenever, let's say we're going to have a conference this coming May, right? Just keep track of anybody out there who ridicules spiritual principles, who ridicules members, especially from the microphone, especially anything that will show in minutes, and just get them removed. Impeach them. Get signatures. We don't like it. And I say my life is spiritual. We're not going to tolerate this. You have to be a little more careful about wrongdoing because, like stealing money and all, because that can be fabricated. So how do you check your facts out? But I'm real glad that Bob Stone's contract wasn't renewed. I don't know whether he was, the best man for the job or not. Personally, I pray that he can come to terms with some of his power obsessions. But I'm glad he's gone. And I think there are a couple more that need to be gone because before that, it was almost like these people with our millions of dollars. And see, we didn't want royalties for the basic tax. We didn't want bylines for the basic tax. And we don't want them in the future. And I speak for myself and others in this matter. But we certainly don't want employees running down service workers or stomping on what they regard as little guys. Because to us, people like me, they ain't no little guys. Everybody's important. And they should not be allowed to get away with that. And, you know, I was talking to Forrest earlier. I said, you know, the fellowship's grown a lot, but it's just got mature. Like, you know, my kid's getting bigger in his body, and I hope he can get bigger in his mind at the same time. I said, because, you know, it's almost like try the next time you drive your car somewhere, just like shut your eyes, plug up your ears, and see what happens. And if you're not actively, you know, if enough people aren't actively engaged in running world, the world's going to do what it wants to, just like that car. And it's not the car's fault. If it's not told anything to do, it'll start making up stuff, or it'll just keep going where it was going. But the car can't perceive the curve in the road. And, you know, same with world. If you, you know, like if, well, I guess I've read my list. I'll just shut up. You know, this has been a real good mature workshop. We've covered a lot of ground. I haven't felt like anybody was prevented from sharing openly and honestly whatever came to them. And I hope that this is setting like a new custom, because we need stuff like this. And it freshens there and takes the pressure off. And then, you know, people aren't wandering around like they've heard there's trouble and they're scared and, you know. It kills the fear. It gets things out in the open. It increases the faith. People relax. You get common sense back. And, I'm real glad you had it. And I thank y'all for having some of us in. And I hope we can do it again, too. Cause y'all are real important to me in my life. I mean, Dave and Bill and Bill. And the rest of you. And when I first got clean and first got involved, it was like I sort of hated to really get to know you well at a convention, because that the disease sat on me assumed I'd never see you again in this lifetime. And then through service and recovery, oh man, you get to know an incredible number of people. You might see them two or three times. You might know their face and name before you ever get to talk to them, you know, for a long time. But I feel like I want to have a long talk with Carl and Yeshua, right? I figured out it was like yes sir, so you know, sort of different, but. You know, my wife sponsors up in Michigan right now, and you're from Michigan, and oh yeah, we'll see each other again. And then that's what makes, you know, we got between now and then we can look forward to it. Thank you.
One of the things that really attracted me to drive the 1,700 miles or so it'll take us to get here and back was solutions. I don't know how many of you have been involved in workshopping a piece of literature in this fellowship? That's quite a few. I bet if we asked earlier, it would have been a minority. And so you got an idea of that warm fuzzy you got doing that, and that inclusion you felt, and being a part of, and being heard, and somebody actually understanding that maybe you had some value in your life, and that you got something to give away instead of continue to take. A little bit of my background was looking for recovery in 68 and finding out, since I wasn't convicted felon, there wasn't any for me. and then finding it somewhere else in 72 and taking another 14 years almost to find out that I belonged here. And it was that hunger and thirst to find out why I hadn't found it, because I felt good here. I felt at home here. And as I got more involved and did more things and tried to use the strengths that were given so freely to me, I started seeing old-timers feeling hurt and put off and set aside. And when I went to conferences and quarterly workshops, I saw the skirts and I saw the chasing, and I wondered where their spiritual principles were. And if that was the epitome of service, if that was the height of service, is that where you could serve the best and do the most, I didn't want anything to do with it. And that scared me a lot. But I had those resources. I met those people. I went to places and looked for that good old boy sitting back in the back of the meeting and nodding his head and smiling. You can tell the serene ones around here. You can tell usually the service junkie's got tired eyes. And he's smiling when he identifies with what somebody else has got to share. And our literature process is threatened. Any history, something we're doing here, is a D-list item not too long ago. And as a regional literature chair, I requested it. I was told it's in the office, and the office is going to compile it. And I was real pissed. And then I asked for all of the items that are available for development in this fellowship. I was told you couldn't have. How am I supposed to identify with the diversity in my region, what they want to work on, if I don't have the material to produce, to give to them, to understand what they might want to work on? I'm in a new area. I mean, this is backwoods. I mean, a group conscience where I'm living now is 3 to 7 people in our area in any particular group. That's about what it was like when I came into the fellowship. Yeah, with some learning experiences and finding solutions, this is the third area I've helped begin and help grow. And I say third time's the charm, and I told them don't isolate me, because I learned from these old-timers that's what happens. So when we just started to talk about it, I said, don't isolate me. Here's the service material, read it. Understand what you're talking about. Information. Something we don't have much of in Narcotics Anonymous. We don't have a communication tool in this fellowship. We have a news line. It goes everywhere. Who writes it? What goes in it? If you read it long enough, you know. Depends on how long it takes to sink in. And that's something that we began to dialogue a little bit in St. Louis. There were 17 regional literature chairs in St. Louis for the quarterly. And first an hour and a half of a dialogue with those regional chairs was a bitch session. And I didn't come 800 miles to do this. I've heard enough bitching. Where are the solutions? What are we going to do? We need some sort of tool of communication in this fellowship. Bill mentioned it. I think a networking. I think a pyramidal sort of structure. I'll call you. You call two people. Those people call two people. And before long, you have the ability to communicate broadly in this fellowship. I think we need to identify those people who can write. I can remember just a few years ago when it was just enthusiasm. Now I'm meeting the people with the masters and the doctorates in English that have the talent. But I'm hearing about their frustrations. You know, a committee that took everything away from them for almost 9 months, so they didn't have anything to do, and they want to quit. Seems like it would be simple to identify the people who can write. Put a list of 20 topics together and send it out as broad a distribution as you can get to every group that you can get an address for, and ask them to read it in their group business meeting. Read it in under any announcement. The fellowship would like to have your input on a topic. There's enough people can determine whether you can write or not. That wouldn't be hard to amass. We need those communication tools. You know, we're talking about assembling a history, right, wrong, indifferent, for purview. Take a look. See what it looks like. See what you believe. You don't like it? Check it out. If it irritates your ass and you know that it's different, tell us more. I think we could do that in a communication tool, but we need to identify where people stand. Now, there's so much diversity and there's so many differing viewpoints, and I firmly believe none of the people that do the things that we think are wrong do it intentionally. Lack of knowledge and lack of willingness to surrender is probably the two basics. The willingness to surrender comes hard for me. I want to keep fighting. That's probably why I stay in service. That's probably why, I'm being another couple hundred miles away from my regional meeting, I'm still involved when I can't afford it anymore. But we need those solutions. We need to find the people who can write. We need those communication tools. We need to quit bad-mouthing service. We alienate a lot of old-timers, and that scared me a lot last fall. You know, I saw us getting real stuck and wrapped up, and when December showed up with the first half of the service guide, new proposed service guide, I wondered why I want to stay around here 15 years and be put off. That scared the shit out of me. And in talking with those old-timers, it still scares the shit out of them. I met a lot of old-timers in another place in another time, and they told me I didn't have to change, I only had to stop. Didn't do me a fucking bit of good. Today I gotta change. I gotta be adaptable, I have to learn, I have to communicate, I have to have the honesty, open-minded, and willingness we talked about. And I gotta have service. They told me that's how it works. And what can I do? It's mentioned probably 10 different times. Is that what they did to get recovery in Narcotics Anonymous? It's not mentioned in any other 12-step program that I know of, but that's what works here and that's what works for addicts. And I've begged people for service, and I've corralled them into service, and I've thrown them in the car and taken them to service. And it only works on that one-on-one. This whole program is about feelings to me, man. I didn't feel before I got here. And for something as powerful as this to reach as somebody as stupid and as stubborn as I was, and still am, it has to come back to our primary purpose. What the hell are we here for? There were people here for me that gave me a chance to feel again. to feel okay about who I am and what I do and what I'm like and what I think. Because they believed in the importance of carrying the message to the addict who still suffered. Not that it had to be hip, slick, and glossy. Not that it had to keep from alienating treatment professionals so we could sell more literature. None of that stuff mattered then. But here we are at a point where we're talking about adapting a system, and the justification was to take a structure from another place that was to go from a dictatorship to a democracy, and their justification is this will take us from too broad a democracy to what? A dictatorship. Does Narcotics Anonymous need a $7 million prudent reserve like somebody else has in using the 12 steps? We want that. You're going to have that ability once you get a meditation book and a step book. There'll be that kind of money available. It ain't too far away. But there's a lot of subtle rewards available for service in Narcotics Anonymous right now. There are charge cards. They'll need office directors in Rio de Janeiro, in Frankfurt, in Paris. Real nice rewards. Who will fill those positions? Who will they go to? We've already made some of the mistakes of sending the wrong people to the wrong place at the wrong time. I believe we'll come out on the other side just where we're supposed to be. We're right where we're at now. We got here for a reason. We wouldn't have attracted this number of people. We wouldn't have had the quality of the people that came to begin to do the dialogue. I remember when I first talked to Billy, I said, okay, who are we going to get? Who's going to be willing to roll over and be honest and let us scratch their belly and let them feel a part of this again? Not many yet, but I think as the interest grows, I don't know if I agree with naming names. I like to talk about circumstances. I don't know what I feel about names. This is an anonymous program, and I ain't out to get anybody. I'm out to get better and to carry a message. What are the solutions? It's getting involved and staying involved. Don't run away and hide. Best rewards in this program, many times for me, have been in through my service experiences. Dealing with you addicts has made life in general a piece of cake. I'm amazed how easy it is to deal with the public today. I'm in a new town. I've got a doctor that would give me anything I want. I've got a pharmacist for a friend. And I can trust those friendships today, and I'm not going to use them because you gave that to me. Because I had to look in their hearts instead of into their pocketbooks and what they have to offer me. You taught me that. Because sometimes you really alienated the shit out of me. But I had to look past that to your principles. Sometimes I wonder where the principles go. I always hated principals because they were the ones that put me in detention and made me stay after school. But today it's different. Today it's entirely different. Those are principles that are something I can live by and feel by and grow by. And I don't have to live in that base physical anymore. I don't have to be stuck in that crazy mental shit anymore. I try to maintain a spiritual condition because that sucker's finally awake. How are we going to wake up more? By talking more positively about what we do. Letting people know about where we came from. Talking about those warm fuzzies. Letting people in a PI committee know that they ain't going to get any big strokes, but they're the basis of getting it out for more people to find. Recognizing that H&I's got a lot of hugs and a lot of things to turn around and give you right back. Gee, thanks, I needed that. There's some real nice, fun things there. Policy, that's always going to be fun for the politician and all of us. There's a place for everybody in Narcotics Anonymous because we have that diversity. We have those needs. But for each and every one of us, it's finding that so you feel those warm fuzzies, so you learn how to feel good about yourself, so you like who you are. I like being happy. That's new. That's fresh every day. But how? Because I have to keep it fresh. I got to listen at that next meeting. My home group's based on a 10-step. We talk about how you apply the principles of this program, the 12 steps in your life over the last week. They get real honest. Don't hear a lot of bitching and moaning. You know, just the basics of what we do can be kept so simple. You heard all of those suggestions of going back to the home group. That's where it is. That's Narcotics Anonymous. What you gonna do? You gonna be a member and, or you gonna be a taker? You gonna learn how to give? Or are you gonna throw it away? There's solutions because the talents are here. Calling a spade will work. I like your impeachment idea. It is a political structure. Letting people know what other people are doing isn't dissent. It's not controversy. Maybe it's just another basic attempt at being honest. I got to own my own shit today. I ain't got to own anybody else's. If I don't like your shit, I can give you back any time I'm confident enough that I've looked at it, I've molded over, I surrendered to it. And here it is. It's all yours. Owning mine's a little more difficult. I need those informed people. I need those insightful people. I need those intelligent people. I need those feeling people to feed that back. If it just comes down to being a business here, I'm gone. You know, we discuss about changing the steps. Let's get God out of here so we can be an international fellowship. Yeah. Wonderful. Some crazy things have come along. What's the end result? We're huge. Our estimated membership is equal to half of another fellowship's, and we've done it in less than 10 years, something that took them 55 years. With the creation of our new materials, that's unknown. With our translations, it's endless. Where are we going and what are we doing? Hell if we know. But it feels good, and it's working, and people are enjoying. But is it about fundraisers? Is it about dances? Or is it about carrying a message? I hope we all realize it's about carrying a message. What's yours? That's your own experience, strength, and hope to share. hope everybody takes back what they've heard and thought about and come up with and mulled over and digested and throw it all up and look at it tomorrow and do something with it. Don't take it home and keep it. That's not what we do here. We give it away. Give this away. Or copyright it and sell it. Yes, Dave. It's fun to ride the emotions in this fellowship, the joy of being a part of being able to reach out to the next person you meet and give them something. And lo and behold, just when you need it back, they're there for you.